So today, we haven't had a movie clip for a while. Today we do have a movie clip from the Pirates of the Caribbean. But before we get there, I just want to talk about this whole thing, meant to live thing, a little bit more. Last week, if you were here, we talked about Solomon. If you weren't here, let's have a little recap. What is Solomon known for? You guys remember the four W's?
Wisdom.
Wealth. Women and...
the world. Come on.
The world, right? He is the most powerful man in the world at that time. So he was the wealthiest, the most wise, had the most wives, and was the most powerful man in the world. So he was a player. He had like a million wives. Well, not quite that many, but like combines, no, concubines. All right. So that was Solomon. And Solomon is the one that's reflected in this text, this book of Ecclesiastes. And it's written as if Solomon has lived his life. He's looking back on his life and he's saying, hey guys, I had it all. I had everything. Everything that you could possibly desire. And now I'm going to give you guys a little bit of wisdom. That's what he's saying in this book. It's really cool. It's kind of an open, look at Solomon's soul. He had everything. I think last week we said it was around $16 billion a year that he would have been taking in from the other nations because they were paying tribute to him because he was the most powerful king in the world. So he was very, very rich, and he could have any woman that he wanted. When God came to him in a vision and asked him anything that he wanted, he said, I want wisdom. So he was obviously a pretty wise guy to start with because he asked for wisdom. And along with wisdom, God gave him everything else. And so this is Solomon saying, hey guys, listen up. I've lived my life, I've had it all, and here's my 2 cents for you guys. All right, so we're gonna play the clip from the Pirates of the Caribbean. We've played it a couple of years back. It's an awesome clip, and it's along the themes of what the world has and what it's offering you will never satisfy you, guaranteed. It will never satisfy you. You'll always want more. All right, we got it queued up. All right. Isn't that an awesome clip? It's a very cool clip. Couple things to remember from this clip before we get into our text. First of all, I want you to remember a couple of these images that we just saw. I want you to think about being consumed by something and not being able to be satisfied. Think of the wine. That's a perfect picture. The guy's drinking wine and it's going right straight through. Like there's no matter what, how much he drank, right? It would just go down on the floor. So he was empty inside, all right? Think of that. Another quote that I want you to think about is when he came into the moonlight and he said, the moonlight exposes us for what we are, okay? I want you guys to know that God knows who you are and what you are, that the light of God, who is in the Bible, the light of the world is Jesus, exposes us for who we are. And all of us, myself included, all of us are empty. The things of this world that we try to fill this emptiness with, they don't pan out for us. They just end up, we just get more depressed, more desire for more. It's never enough, whether it's money, whether it's sex, whether it's whatever. It doesn't satisfy. In fact, you'll find if you really do an internal look into your heart, that it destroys us. Now, I want you guys to understand that wealth and relationships and wisdom and what was the other thing? No, relationships, women, power. None of these things are bad, right? But when we put them, any of them, in front of Jesus, when any of those things are more important than Jesus in our life, they become our God. They become our idol. And when we chase after them, they promise us all sorts of goodness, but they can't deliver. Because they're just idols. They're not God. Only God can satisfy that desire in our hearts that we were meant for something more, that there's something more to this life than just what we can see around us. There's got to be more. Because what we see around us, it never satisfies us. It only leaves us wanting more. All right, so let's go to the text here. You can turn to page 396. It's the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 6, starting in verse 6. Sorry, 396. So here we go. We're going to read it. Chapter 6, starting chapter 5, starting in verse 8, actually. What do I have here? Chapter 5, verse 8. It says the futility of wealth up there. Remember, this is Solomon looking back on his life. He was the wealthiest, $16 billion a year, whatever he made, a lot of money. He's given us a little bit of wisdom here about money. Don't be surprised if you see a poor person being oppressed by the powerful. Do we see that in the world? Yeah, we see that a lot, don't we? And if justice is being miscarried throughout the land, for every official is under orders from higher up, and matters of justice get lost in red tape and bureaucracy. Even the king milks the land for his own profit. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. That's a good verse. So what good is wealth? Except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers. You guys, have you noticed, you know, the people that are famous, that we look up to, singers and movie stars, and do you notice that when their life kind of gets exposed and you find out what's really going on, we see what happened, you know, most recent one would be Tiger, what was happening kind of behind closed doors in Tiger's life, whether it's Britney Spears or Lindsay Lohan, these people are incredibly unhappy. They have everything. They have everything. Everything you could ever desire. Money, wealth, power, fame. They have all these things, but they're desperately unhappy. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever kind of stopped and said, man, these people are really unhappy. Wonder why? Well, this is what God is telling us right here. It's because when we pursue these things, they end up leaving us empty. And not just empty, they end up destroying us. These people's lives are often destroyed. Now, wealth doesn't have to destroy you. Okay? It's not like you're wealthy, you're destroyed. There's lots of wealthy people who are incredibly generous and who love Jesus. So this is not what... What's that? Who? Could be. I don't know. I've never asked him about his relationship with God. So I have no idea how much he loves Jesus. All right. Let's keep going. Where are we? Starting verse 12. People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. Why do you think that is? Well, they're worried about their stuff, right? I mean, if I had a $100,000 car, I probably wouldn't bring it to you, just in case somebody hit it with a skateboard. Somebody hit my truck last week. That's okay. Right? All right, let's keep going. There is another serious problem I have seen under the sun. Hoarding riches. Hoarding riches. You guys know what hoarding means? Yeah, it's really selfish. Like, you're just hoarding it for yourself, and, you know, people are starving to death, but you don't care. You just want money for yourself. All right? Money is put into risky investments that turn sour, and everything is lost. In the end, there is nothing left to pass on to one's children. We all come to the end of our lives. Get this, guys. This is an important thing to remember. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. You guys realize that? When you leave this earth, you leave it the same way you came. Right? What are you going to take? Nothing. You can't hold on to anything. You can get buried with your favorite dog. I don't know. It's not going to help you. He's not coming with you. Eventually he'll die in there, I guess he has food to eat. But. It's horrible, eh? Sorry. I couldn't help it. We can't take our riches or anything else with us. And this, too, is a very serious problem. People leave this world no better off than they came. All their hard work is for nothing, like a working for the wind. Working for the wind seems pretty useless, doesn't it? Throughout their lives, they live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and angry. Even so, I have noticed one thing at least that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life that God has given them and accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and to give and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy our work and accept your lot in life. This is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. And kind of a last verse that kind of sums up this whole section that we've been reading is down near the bottom of the page. It's chapter 6, verse 9. It says, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like a chasing after the wind. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys a couple questions. Why do you think people want money so badly? To spend it on what? Okay, items that we'll think, but does it ever?
No.
Do they ever truly make us happy?
Yes.
Well, how?
Temporarily.
How do you know?
Because
I don't think he is. I think he's really worried about it.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
$1 billion.
What's he going to take when he, what's he going to take when he dies? Nothing. Nothing. Does it matter? You know what? We'll feel bad about people when they die, but after a while we forget them, right? We don't remember people who lived 50 years ago. I don't. I wasn't alive. One generation, we read this last week. One generation comes, next generation comes after, the last generation's forgotten.
And also he could be happy because he's so successful.
We don't even know if he's happy. We're just
happy.
You can bet me all you want. Okay. And then prove it.
You can read his blog.
Yeah.
The obvious thing he said recently was he was in Antarctica and he was watching some whales and other wildlife. He said it was the happiest
he's been. There you go. That's a guy who has a lot of money. It was God's creation. All right. Nope. I'm sorry. Only Bill Gates knows if he's truly happy. He's the only one. We'll never know. We'll find out someday. Okay, let's keep going. So if we've seen all these movie stars crash, if we've seen all these rich people who are desiring wealth and fame crash and burn, why is it that so many of us want to follow that lifestyle, want to be them? Can you explain? Why are they cool? Their life is in shambles. It's just because they're in the spotlight, right? They have everything that we think we need, and yet they're so unhappy. Material things. All right. Okay, here's a tidbit of information for you guys. You guys realize that most of the marketing and advertising these days are aimed at teenagers? Do you realize the fact that you guys have cell phones? The fact that most of the guys wear Axe? Is because, seriously, listen to this. Is because a whole bunch of old, bald, fat guys in suits got together in a boardroom and said, how can we get the money out of the parents' hands into our hands? And guess what? It's called marketing campaign, and they market teens. Seriously, I was reading an article in the last 20 years, it has I can't remember the percentage, but it has like skyrocketed. When companies realized that it wasn't just the parents who had money, but they could access the money by advertising to teens, there was a huge shift in advertising. You notice that Axe products doesn't advertise to 60 or 80 year olds? You know, I've never seen an 80 year old man wear an Axe. Seriously. He's just like, I can see through that. Some fat cat in a boardroom is trying to get me to buy his product by advertising. So do you guys realize that, I'm not just saying you guys, but all of us are often products of marketing in our culture. We are told you need this to be happy. You need this to be happy. You need this kind of car. You need this kind of girlfriend. You need this kind of boyfriend. You need this, you need this, you need that. That's what advertising does. It makes you unsatisfied with what you have so that you desire something more. And what we find is that the advertising business, you never notice that it's never finished. You know what? If it was really true that this stuff satisfied us and made us happy, that they wouldn't need to advertise anymore because we'd all be happy and satisfied. But I hardly know any people who are happy and satisfied, especially people who are just desiring more all the time. Yeah. It's really hard to be happy, isn't it? All right. Let's keep on trucking here. Did you guys realize that money is one of the major gods of our culture?
Yep.
We chase after money. We give our lives for money. We do whatever we can. We'll let go of our morals. We'll let go of any, things that we believe in order to get money. We'll cheat. We'll do whatever. Yeah.
Other countries' people sell children for money.
Yeah. Slave trade. Can you imagine being part of that? Selling little, like I got three little kids. I can't even hardly talk about the slave trade because it devastates me. To think that little kids are taken from their families and sold into slavery. It's horrible. That's happening in our world. Because people want money. They don't work for anything. They're slaves. It's brutal. I don't know about that. Buy them out. Okay, yeah, okay, that's better. I'm just like, you can buy a slave? Like, what? That sounds better. You can buy them out of slavery. Well, yeah, if you support some of these causes, right? Okay, let's keep going. Here's the thing with money. You will never, ever have enough. Bill Gates will never, ever have enough money. He never. Anybody who has money always wants more. You have money, and you want more. You guys think, well, I don't have a lot of money. Think about the world. Do you guys realize that you guys are considered in the top 15% of the world's elite as far as wealth goes? That means 85% of the world lives under your standards. And you think that you're not well off. You think that, oh, I don't have enough money. They're looking at you and they're going, what? You have everything. There's people starving to death. We just did the 30-hour famine, and some of the stats from previous years that we talked about, I think there's 1 billion people on the face of this earth work for $1 a day or less. A billion. Okay? $2 or less? 2 billion. That's almost half of the world's population works for under $2 a day. Okay? Let's put this into perspective. You're not the poor. You're not the hard done by. You are not anywhere close. You guys know where most of you know where your next meal is coming from. You know that you can go to school and get educated. Maybe probably get a good job. Yeah. Well, we always look ahead, right? We always look at somebody who has more than us and we say, well, we don't have enough. There's always somebody who will have more than you. Always. That's why we can never have enough. That's why no matter how much money you ever can get or amass, you'll never have enough. You always want more. Well, here's what Jesus says about this whole thing. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief comes to steal and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. See, Jesus is promising us something that the writer of Ecclesiastes isn't able to fathom. He's looking back and he's going like, all this was madness. This money, this desire for wealth, all the things that I did, all this power, it was all madness. It was all meaningless. And when Jesus came, he showed us real meaning. He showed us that, hey, if you want to have a full life, don't believe the lie of your culture and the advertising and the marketing. They're trying to sell you something. They want you to want more. They want you to think you need more money, that you need more, a better cell phone, that you need the updated iPod or the OS 4 iPhone coming up. Woohoo, right? So they want you to think that you need it. But you don't. It won't satisfy you. There'll always be another iPod coming out. There'll always be something better. And when something better comes out, you'll look at what you got and you're like, I need something else. I need more. Yeah, like the iPad, you know, woo, iPad. Well, you know, in a couple of years, iPad would be like, what? You know, they'll have something else. And you'll be like, oh, I got to get something else. It never ends.
An iPad is an iPod for people with bad hands.
Nice. An iPad. All right, let's keep going. So Jesus is promising us something. And you know what? Jesus showed us how to live a full life. We often look at Jesus and we're just like, we don't really have a good picture of who Jesus was. Jesus was the most content, the happiest, the guy that's ever lived. He had the most fulfilling life you could possibly imagine. And yet, his life ended on a cross, on a big chunk of wood, nailed to it, dying like a criminal, even though he was innocent, that he'd never ever done anything wrong. But he chose to die on that cross for us. And he's trying to, the light, Jesus is the light. He's trying to expose the darkness in this world that continually is being preached that you need this stuff to fulfill your life? You don't. You need Jesus. If you want a fulfilling life, you need Jesus. You really do. Because if you don't have Jesus, you will never have a fulfilled life, ever. And Jesus promises it. He says, that's why I came. I came to give you a full life. I mean, what's the opposite of a full life? An empty life. Exactly like the Pirates of the Caribbean guy, right? Is empty. Nothing satisfied them. Jesus is promising you something more. He's answering the question, weren't we meant for something more? And Jesus is saying, yes. If you follow me, you will find something more. Something you could not ever have imagined could have even existed. You will be more satisfied and more full in your life than you could ever have imagined. If you follow me, if you follow my teachings, if you give yourself to me. He said, I'll give you life. All right. I'm not finished, but I am finished because our time is up. So here we are at the end of this talk, and we've talked about money. It's not just money. This series is going to continue for a little bit. But again, I want to remind you guys of some questions. The question today I want you to think, was I meant for more than this world is offering me? When you sit in front of the TV and they're advertising stuff, can you think of, am I meant for more than this, or is this all I'm good for? Buying products, consuming stuff. Maybe there's something more. Maybe that kind of ache in my soul won't be filled by a new iPod or a new computer or a new pair of shoes or a new purse or whatever. Maybe there's something more. I want you guys to think about that. In 3 weeks, we're going to have a question and answering period. You can bring your cell phones because you can text in the questions. We'll have a number up on the screen. We'll have a guy at the back typing out the questions. And then we're going to have our panel of leaders try to answer the questions. So I want you guys to be thinking about this. Were we meant for more? And what does that mean? If we were meant for more than this world is offering us, then how do we get it? I want you guys to think about that. Really important. You know what? You don't have to wait till then. If you want to say, you know what? I want to follow Jesus now because I think you're right. I think the Bible's right. I think that Jesus is offering us a full life because I'm looking at my life and I'm seeing emptiness and I want it full. Because I don't know about you guys, I don't want to live an empty life. And, you know, I do it too. I start following my own desires. I start desiring things other than God, and I have to get readjusted because I get into the same kind of the spiral. And it puts you into depression and despair when you're trying to get things that in front of God instead of God. You're putting things in front of God. All right, I'm going to pray for you guys, and you can go to your small groups. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you offered us something more, that we don't have to be patsies and just believe all the advertising and all the things that our culture is telling us that this is what we need. And when we look at our lives, we know that's not what we need because it just leaves us empty eventually. It doesn't last. Lord, we want happiness that lasts a lifetime. We want stuff that doesn't just fade away. We want things that last, Lord. And so, Father, I just pray that you'd show us how to receive that, how to get that. And, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to every single one of these teens here because they're not here by accident. Lord, you want to speak to them. You want to draw them into relationship with you. And that's why we're here, Lord. We want you to do that through us. And so, Lord, speak to each of these teens' hearts throughout this week, throughout the next couple of months. Lord, we want people to know you. We want people to know the full life that you offer is real. It's true. So we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.